Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is visiting the United States, leaving his country for the first time since the war started.
Because this is his first visit abroad since the beginning of full-scale invasion, and it's of course very symbolic that he went to the U.S. to meet President Biden, because the support from the U.S. and from Biden administration is, well, it's just enormous.
Plus, Russian forces are targeting specific Ukrainian individuals.
Andrei Kukrush, a village head, got a threatening call from an unknown number. We will find you, the man said in Russian.
And later in the program, we'll visit the Belarusian border with Ukraine and meet a military commander. And we go east to a town near Bakhmut to meet a retired teacher living in a crowded basement. Today is Wednesday, December 21st. From the Voice of America in Washington, this is Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening, I'm Steve Karish. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky is making his first trip abroad since the Russian invasion, and he's visiting the United States. Later on Wednesday, after this show is recorded and first broadcast, he'll meet with President Biden and he'll address Congress. Amer Madhani has this overview.
I'm Amer Madhani. I'm a White House reporter for the Associated Press. And what the Associated Press has just learned is that President Zelensky will be making his first trip outside of Ukraine since the February invasion by Russia. And he'll be coming to Washington on Wednesday to visit both the White House and make a speech at the U.S. Capitol. Now, things are very fluid. It is possible that this could have to be scrapped for security reasons. But both the White House and Congress are preparing for Zelensky to come. This is significant for multiple reasons. The war is at another inflection point. It's at a fraught moment for Zelensky. The Ukrainians want to make sure that the American support for the war continues as control of Congress is about to change from Democrats to Republicans in the weeks ahead. And it's also an important moment because Ukraine's about to get $45 billion more promised for the next piece of fighting. So Zelensky sort of left to what some are seeing as sort of an Easter egg about this visit. He was on the front lines giving out awards to Ukrainian forces that are really in the thick of this. And he was given a flag that he promised to hand on from the Ukrainian forces that they meant to be a token of thanks to the U.S. for the support that's been given to Ukraine in fighting the war thus far. 10 months ago, no one expected Ukraine to be standing at this point. They expected the Russians to have prevailed. For him to come at this moment, it's a big deal. It's a chance for him to show that U.S. investment has paid off in Ukraine.
Amer Madhani reporting. For some additional context and background, I spoke with Ostap Yarosh with VOA's Ukrainian service.
Well, we know that this is going to be a message of gratitude to the U.S. lawmakers. We know that the day before his visit to the United States, he met with Ukrainian soldiers on the front line in Bakhmut, and they gave him the Ukrainian flag and asked to hand it over to the American lawmakers as a sign of gratitude for the U.S. support. So we anticipate that that this will be one of the messages of Zelensky before the American Congress. Also, probably we need to remember that the U.S. Congress will have to vote on the additional funding for Ukraine. So probably Zelensky will somehow mention that as well.
We've also been reading that the White House is expected to make it official today that Ukraine will receive the Patriot missiles.
Yes.
How important is that?
What we've heard from the Ukrainian military command, this is extremely important for the Ukrainian air defense, especially when we see those Russian attacks almost every week, massive attacks on the Ukrainian critical infrastructure, electrical grid. So this is extremely important to defend Ukrainian cities, Ukrainian energy system from the Russian attacks, especially in the times of winter when it's cold and when the Ukrainian people suffer from power outages from when they have to spend their nights in cold and darkness in their homes.
This is President Zelensky's first trip outside of Ukraine since
That's
the war
correct.
Began, that we know of. How significant is it that he came to the United States?
It's huge, actually. Yeah, you're right. This is his first trip abroad since February 24th, when the Russians invaded Ukraine. It was a full-scale invasion. And it's difficult to not to think about this trip as a significant, really significant one. We don't know how he made this trip. What was his route? Because, as I mentioned before, on the same day he went to Bakhmut, the front line, when he met soldiers. And then we see the news that he's on the way to Washington, D.C. It's still a mystery how he left Ukraine, whether it was from Poland or a direct flight from Kyiv somehow through a third country. But this is a big, big step for Zelensky. And the question is, what will be the next country, if there will be one?
Ostap Yarosh is a reporter with the VOA Ukrainian service. Ostap, thank you so much for your time and analysis today. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Are Russian forces targeting specific individuals in their attacks? We take a look in a few minutes. Before we get to that, it's been announced by the White House that Ukraine will indeed get Patriot missiles in the next round of military aid. Sagar Meghani has the story.
The U.S. is set to give Ukraine a long-requested addition to its air defenses against an increasing Russian missile barrage. U.S. officials say a new $1.8 billion military aid package will, for the first time, include a Patriot missile battery. Ukraine's been seeking the advanced surface-to-air missile defense system as Russia ramps up its attacks, and the aid signals an expansion of the kinds of weaponry the U.S. will provide. The move comes despite Russian threats that the Patriot delivery would be seen as provocative. It's unclear when the Patriot will actually arrive on the front lines. American troops first have to train Ukrainians on using the high-tech system, which could take weeks. Sagar Meghani at the Pentagon.
For its part, the Kremlin said that nothing good would come of Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky's trip to Washington on Wednesday, and that Russia saw no chance of peace talks with Kyiv. In a call with reporters, Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said that continued Western arms supplies to Ukraine would lead to a deepening of the conflict, and that would backfire on Kyiv.
The supply of weapons continues, and the range of supplied weapons is expanding. All of this, of course, leads to an aggravation of the conflict. This does not bode well for Ukraine.
That's Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov. Last week, the Kremlin said that sending Patriot missiles to Ukraine would be a, quote, provocative move. And as we've heard, the White House is officially set to announce a military aid package for Ukraine that includes Patriots. Time now to check in with Anna Chernikova in Kyiv. So you told us just the other day that troops in Bakhmut gave Zelensky a Ukrainian flag and asked him to bring it to the United States to give to Congress. Little did we know it would be so soon.
Yes, exactly. And this happened just yesterday. And also yesterday in the morning, President Zelensky visited the city of Bakhmut, which is currently the hottest spot on the front line across Ukraine. And Ukrainian soldiers, yeah, they basically passed this flag as a thank you present and reminder that, tough time is continue to happen in Ukraine. And as unexpected as his visit to Bakhmut, yesterday in the evening, it was announced about his potential visit. So the rumors started to appear about his potential visit to the U.S. And today in the morning, local time, we got this confirmation. So apparently the flag will get to the Congress sooner than it was expected.
Is there any indication from the government in Kyiv what he will speak to President Biden about?
Yeah, so the most important topic is, of course, support and continuous support. And a lot of experts and some anonymous representatives, which like from the government, according to some international news outlets. So apparently they said that the talks might also include the ATACMS missiles that Ukraine was asking for quite a long time. This is a long-range missiles that U.S. government haven't supplied yet to Ukraine. And apparently President Zelensky would ask personally about this. But again, this is something that just, you know, talks around. But what is definite that President Zelensky will talk about continuous support and continuous, especially military support. Maybe also he would talk about energy support, because the situation in the energy sector remains very difficult. And every day it could get worse. Also, we know that new package, according to information from the sources from the White House and from the sources from military sources, apparently new package would be announced, and it might be quite big, around $2 billion of support for Ukraine. So this all is, of course, expected, and this all is also under, you know, active discussions here in Ukraine, and people really expect some big news after this visit by President Zelensky, because this is his first visit abroad since the beginning of full-scale invasion, and it's of course very symbolic that he went to the U.S. to meet President Biden, because the support from the U.S. and from Biden administration is, it's just enormous, and it continues. Everyone expects some big news and big announcements from this visit.
So we know what the governments in Washington and Kyiv are saying. What are the average folks, the average citizens in Ukraine saying about this? Do they see this as a turning point? Are they excited?
Definitely excited. And I think that in general, the signs that President Zelensky left the country, even for such a short period of time, but still he got out of the country, creates a feeling that, situation is not, you know, as critical as it was for all these, 10 months of war that he wasn't able to leave. So basically, I think that psychologically, this creates this effect that everything is under control if President Zelensky can leave the country, even for a short term. So people in Ukraine in general are quite excited that President Zelensky's visit is to the U.S. as his first visit during the full-scale invasion is to the U.S. to meet President Biden, because, of course, support from the U.S. is the biggest, and it's enormous, and everyone is very thankful. So for people, it's really a good sign, and it's important that President Zelensky went there as showing the respect to the U.S. people and to President Biden, his administration, for this great help that Ukraine received from the U.S. Because, of course, we all understand that this support and this and all the military supplies is what allow Ukrainian soldiers to be successful at the battlefield and still be keeping the territories and liberating territories. So, of course, here Ukrainian society is extremely, is extremely proud, I think, that this meeting is happening. As I already said, people are, for people psychologically, is a good sign that President Zelensky was able to leave the country and to meet President Biden.
Anna Chernikova in Kyiv. Anna, as always, thank you for your time and your insight today.
Thank you, Steve.
You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Steve Karish. Russian troops are not just shelling Ukrainian cities, they are targeting specific influential people. People who are not in the military or national leadership. Charles de la Desma has the details.
Russian troops are hunting Ukrainians by name, using lists prepared with the help of their intelligence services. An Associated Press probe has found in a deliberate widespread campaign, Russian forces systematically target influential Ukrainians nationally and locally to neutralize resistance through detention, torture, and executions. In the crosshairs are government officials, journalists, activists, veterans, religious leaders, and lawyers. About a week after the first Russian bombs struck Ukraine, Andrei Kuprash, a village head, got a threatening call from an unknown number. "We will find you," the man said in Russian. The hunt was on. The strategy appears to violate the laws of war and could help build a case for genocide. I'm Charles de Ledesma.
We visit a teacher huddled in a crowded basement near Bakhmut next. But first, Russian President Vladimir Putin visited Belarus on Monday in what Kyiv officials and others see as an attempt to pressure dictator Alexander Lukashenko into joining a ground offensive from Belarus. The Ukrainian military has been preparing for months for such a scenario. VOA's Eastern Europe bureau chief, Miroslava Gongadze, went to the Ukrainian-Belarusian border to check the situation out.
At the point zero, one of the main Ukrainian defense line, you can see the Belarusian border checkpoint. To get here, we had to walk in a straight line behind Ukrainian military personnel. That's because the main road that connects the two countries is now lined with mines. Stepping outside could be deadly. Oleksandr Cis, the commander of the local territorial defense brigade, said that since the February 24th Russian invasion, Ukrainian forces have been preparing for possible offensive from Belarus.
We are today like one organism, and everyone knows what step to take and how to maneuver.
He said that at this point, Ukrainian forces feel confident to defend the country.
We feel incredible support from the local population and local government. We got a lot of support and military equipment from our partners. We are preparing our soldiers, so we are ready.
Colonel Anton Kvetkovsky shared the Ukrainian intelligence assessment that the Belarusian military is not designed to offensive action. Ukrainians, however, don't take the risk of an offensive maneuvers lightly. In coordination with Russian forces, Belarus can make strikes, and Ukrainians are preparing themselves.
The situation on the border is under control.
The local topography makes it almost impossible to cross into Ukraine from Belarus by ground. Vitaly Koval, the governor of the Rivne region that borders Belarus, explained the reality on the ground.
As you can see, on the left are the swamps. They are impossible to cross. We have 92 kilometers of them. So the enemy should understand that they can't beat nature and God. These swamps help us. In addition, we have over 1,000 small and big rivers in the region with bridges, and they serve as a natural defense for us.
Ukraine and Belarus share a 1,000-kilometer border. In February, Russian forces used Belarus as launchpad for their attack on Ukrainian capital Kyiv. Since the invasion, the Belarusian territory became a base for war logistics and rocket launches. Oleksiy Danilov, secretary of the National Security and Defense Council, told VOA that the Ukrainian government takes the threat seriously.
The risks are there. We have never underestimated them. The issue is that the Russian Federation occupies Belarus at the moment. We are prepared for any scenario, including Belarus.
In Belarus so far, Moscow and Minsk have set up a joint military unit that has held several exercises. But Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko, a pariah in the West who relies heavily on Moscow for support, seems reluctant to enter the war in Ukraine. Observers say that committing Belarusian troops to fight in Ukraine would be deeply unpopular at home and could also mean the end of Lukashenko's rule.
Miroslava Gongadze, VOA News. Ukraine-Belarus border.
Olga is a resident of the small Ukrainian town of Siversk. She lives in a basement together with 19 other people sheltering there. Emma Zhel reports.
Around 20 miles from the frontline Ukrainian city of Bakhmut, where the country's forces are entering their fifth month of battle against the invading Russian army, lies the town of Siversk, a place nearly razed to the ground by Russian forces' relentless missiles and rockets. There, a 78-year-old schoolteacher named Olga lives in a basement with 19 other people sheltering from the war. Her apartment all but destroyed.
People have been saving all their lives, and me as well. And for me, for example, it is very scary to remain in this situation when my apartment is almost ruined. There are no windows, no doors. Moreover, I did a very good renovation because I was waiting for my son. My son was supposed to come back for vacation, and I was waiting for him. But I couldn't see him. Instead, his body was brought to me.
Despite heavy shelling and no power, water, or gas, Olga says she will not leave the town where two of her sons were buried. She did not specify the circumstances of their deaths. The residents are trying to stay positive. Olga shared how they recently celebrated the birthday of one of her neighbors in the basement.
We also sat down to celebrate. We prepared food, ate, drank tea, talked. That's how we spend our time. So everything is fine. May God grant peace. May God grant peace. We all want peace, for peace to come, to have a normal life.
Only a few of the more than 10,000 residents of Seversk remain in the town. Russian forces have repeatedly tried to retake it.
That's Emma Zhao from Reuters reporting for us today. President Zelensky visiting the United States certainly qualifies as one of the more memorable moments in this war. With a look back at other memorable moments from the war in 2022, this is Henry Ridgewell.
An unprovoked invasion of a sovereign nation. Russia's war on Ukraine upended the global security order. It has pushed NATO and Russia closer to direct conflict. Announcing what he called a special military operation February 24th, Russian President Vladimir Putin invoked the ideologies of World War II.
We will strive for the demilitarization and denazification of Ukraine.
Russia threatened to use nuclear weapons if the West got involved in the war. NATO boosted its defense forces in Eastern Europe. Initially cautious, Western nations, led by the United States, began supplying more weapons to Ukraine, including howitzers, multiple launch rocket systems, and air defense systems. But Ukraine's demands for tanks and fighter jets remain unanswered. Western military aid helped Ukrainian forces recapture the cities of Kharkiv and Kherson. As the brutal winter sets in, major offensives have given way to trench warfare and long-range strikes. Russia is now targeting Ukraine's energy infrastructure. Analysts say the coming months will test the commitment of the West.
We can either allow a nuclear bully to get his way and live within security for decades to come, or we can make sure that Putin is not victorious in Ukraine and somehow try to rebuild something better on a much sounder basis.
And as Russian losses mount, pressure on Putin is growing.
Even the most conservative analysis right now is looking at about 50,000 men dead in Ukraine. This is between 3 and 5 times greater what the USSR lost in Afghanistan in 10 years, in 8 months. I can't see how a society can sustain that.
But can the West sustain its support for Ukraine? Washington insists it won't waver. Far beyond the conflict zone, others, not least China and Taiwan, are watching closely. The outcome of the war will not only dictate relations between Russia and the West, it will likely shape a new global order. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
And that'll do it for us today. Stay up to date with continuing coverage on Ukraine and news from around the world 24 hours a day at voanews.com and on social media. Just follow VOA News. On behalf of the entire Flashpoint Ukraine team, thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Steve Karish.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.